Local, this is Newsmaker 2.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by Longvine Auto Plaza on West Highway 50, driven by longvineauto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different. Everyone knows that. That's why at Longvine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we have those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Our award-winning service will help keep you on the road. So come see us or visit us at www.longvineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
KVUE News time is 8:35. Before we jump into our Newsmaker 2, I've got one schedule adjustment that was just called in basically as we were closing down our newscast here in the hour. The Lyon County History Center's Won't You Be My Neighbor event that was set for this afternoon, that has been postponed until further notice. So it will come back on the schedule, debating just basically as to when. So again, the Lyon County History Center's Won't You Be My Neighbor debut not taking place this afternoon.
Yeah, the neighbor from Waubunsee County.
Exactly.
Got better of travel. Which is not a bad idea.
No, not today anyways.
Won't you be my safe neighbor is that the call today.
Good point there. And with that in mind, speaking of neighbors, let's talk about our neighbor in this building, SOS, joining us here today, Kara Codney, Community Relations Director on the KVUE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio Line.
Kara, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing all right so far. So before we start talking about, the main awareness months that are fully underway right now, you guys have to be just giddy at the response that you had for your holiday drive to get the Christmas season.
I mean, it was so amazing. We had more children this year, more people this year than we've had in previous years, and the community stepped up, met the need. You know, we had such a great response from all the different campaigns. It was really, really amazing.
Well, it looked like you needed quite an army downstairs to separate and get all the gifts put together, Kara.
Yeah, it was a little busy at times, moving things around. We had quite a lot of gifts coming in and going back out.
Well, good to see that, though. And do you feel that if you maybe didn't meet the full need, that you made a dent here for the people that needed that type of items?
For sure. I mean, you know, a lot of times when people adopt, we tell them, like, you don't have to get everything on the list because, you know, people can't always, but they still want to give. And, you know, we made such a dent. We had the gloves. We had hats. We were able to give people a lot of basic necessities, you know, a lot of things that people really, really needed. So I hope that helps them start off that year on a good foot.
Yeah, we pushed in over $3,000 in cash from the Caris
yep.
Diamonds fundraiser this year, so that was a nice effort, too, by the community, coming through once again.
Yeah, that was amazing. You know, Caris has done this, as we know, for several years, and we're so thankful, and this was such an impressive, you know, result this year.
Outstanding. Well, Kara, let's take a look here at the two main points here and the information points in general terms with the awareness months that are underway right now. We have Human Trafficking Prevention Month and Stalking Awareness Month that are underway now. And I know you've been kicking out a lot of information on the SOS social media platforms here about both. Let's start with Human Trafficking Prevention Month, because I think a lot of people still struggle to fathom the fact that human trafficking can be happening here.
It absolutely can and does happen here. I think that one of the things that's really hard for people to wrap their head around is that most trafficking is done by someone the person knows and trusts. You know, it's not usually a stranger. It's someone who knows that person or earns their trust. And I think that's really hard to grapple with sometimes, but it is an unfortunate reality.
Are there different ways that people can maybe spot potential human trafficking in place, or is this now becoming something where it's hard to see in action?
I mean, I think it's complicated. It's going to depend on the circumstance. But for example, a lot of times we go out and talk to parents and young people about, you know, sudden shifts in behavior, right? If you notice particularly a young person who is suddenly more withdrawn, or their behavior's changing, or their grades are dropping, you know, you're seeing those changes, you know, that's a good clue that something's going on. You know, it might not be trafficking, obviously, but, you know, those kind of typical warning signs that suddenly something is changing.
Kara, I was going to ask, because it kind of sounds like when people think of human trafficking, they're thinking about people being taken across state lines or,
right,
you know, across countries, but it almost sounds like you don't have to almost maybe change your outward schedule to be a trafficking victim.
Absolutely not. I mean, a person could be going about their regular daily life and you would not even realize what's happening. You know, it's just something that's going on in those times that you might not know about. You know, it can happen right in front of our eyes and we don't even realize it.
So how are human trafficking victims most likely picked up? I know there's probably many ways, Kara, but generally how does that often work?
I think that the way that we would most likely be seeing it locally here would probably be via the internet. You know, someone who makes a connection through social media or, you know, something like that and develops a relationship of some sort and then gains that person's trust and then uses that to exploit them. You know, it can also be an acquaintance, but we are seeing just such a rapid rise in recent years of the use of in the internet and technology for those purposes.
Kara Codney joining us again with SOS as we talk about a couple of different points here right now in Human Trafficking Prevention Month. How can, say for parents, you know, I've got a teenager, and there's a lot of parents who are in my boat. You know, I've also got younger kids as well who are starting to really get into the internet and technology at this point in time. Mm-hmm. What do parents need to do for their kids to at least put some sort of bubble wrap on their kids so that they don't wind up getting themselves in harm's way?
I think one of the biggest things that parents can do is just make sure their kids know that that line of communication is open. You know, keep that conversation happening and let them know that, you know, if something happens, those, you know, somebody starts talking to them, that kid might feel like they messed up, they might feel embarrassed, they might not want to talk about it, just keeping those lines open and letting that kid know that, hey, you can talk to us, you know, you can come to us with this, or a trusted adult of some kind, that they can go to that person and say, hey, this thing is happening and it's making me uncomfortable, you know, and that's a really, really important thing.
So how often, I guess, for the most part, are human traffickers caught? I mean, is that obviously it's difficult to do, but
yeah.
I know that police and sheriff's officers kind of keep an eye out for this, but probably pretty difficult to identify and then prosecute, isn't it?
I mean, for sure. Our local law enforcement and law enforcement all over the state, they do a great job of getting training and doing everything they can, but like many of these types of more interpersonal crimes, it's very challenging to catch it and prosecute the person. You know, there's just a lot of different factors. It's very complicated. When you bring in the internet, you have a whole other level of anonymity. It's a complicated situation, for sure.
Kara, let's shift over to Stalking Awareness Month, which is underway right now. And this is one I think a lot of people, you know, human trafficking is hard to fathom for a lot of people. Stalking probably is not.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that most of us know someone who's experienced something like it, and it's much more familiar. It's very common, unfortunately, but it is something that should be taken very seriously.
What are some of the different services that SOS offers here for people who say that they are being stalked? And what, I guess, maybe before we even answer that question, mm-hmm. what legally constitutes stalking?
Well, you know, each state has the, so there can be some variations in what the legal definition of that might be, like particularly, but generally speaking, it would be a pattern of behavior that's directed at a specific person that would cause a reasonable person to feel fear or suffer some kind of emotional distress. That, you know, Kansas's definition is somewhat similar to that, but that's not the exact wording, of course. And it doesn't have to be something directed at that person. It could be something directed at a family member or someone they care about that would make that person feel fear as well.
I have heard Kara Codney on the radio talking about protection orders and something that you know, people I guess should be aware of because they are available, right?
That is absolutely true. A person can get a protection order for stalking. What we encourage people to do is, if they're experiencing stalking or if they know someone who's experiencing stalking, encourage them to call us. And what we will do is sit down, talk about it with them, see if they meet the criteria for a protection order, and whether or not that does happen, talk to them about their options and what, you know, they might be able to do.
Understood. How prevalent is stalking right now? Because, you know, tracking what I see through district court on a, you know, now that the portal coming back up online here over the last few days, and but even before it went down, it seemed like stalking cases or criminal threat cases specifically were fairly commonplace.
It's pretty common. I think it's actually much more common than most people would think. And because most stalking is someone that the victim knows, a lot of times it's actually someone that the victim maybe cares about, and they don't want to go to law enforcement, but it's very dangerous. And so I'm very thankful that our law enforcement in Kansas and locally takes it seriously, because it is much more common than people think, and it often co-occurs with other forms of interpersonal violence, or can be like a predecessor or lead up to that kind of interpersonal violence.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, because the violence is a big part of someone wanting a protection order, is to keep themselves or their kids safe from harm, and that's something that our local law enforcement are highly trained in, because, you know, when it comes to domestic issues, often they are the most violent and the most dangerous,
yep.
You know, for them to help out with. So help is here with SOS as always.
Yep, we would be happy to help people. They can always call us here at our here on our helpline, which is 1-800-825-1295. They can also text us. They can text SOSKS to the number 847-411, and we are happy to talk to anyone about options for any of the things we help with, you know, stalking, human trafficking, domestic violence, sexual assault. We are here to help.
Kara, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up here this morning? Because I think we delved into these two topics. Anything else that we need to bring up here for the public here today?
I think that, you know, just kind of continuing on the line of stalking, if someone comes to talk to you about it, a lot of times it might not seem like it's something that serious that's happening to someone from the outside, right? But context is really important. So something that might seem very harmless when in the context of a stalking situation, it can be very serious. So I think that we just need to take people's concerns in anything related to this kind of, you know, human trafficking, stalking, just when people come to talk to us, really listen and see what's going on in their lives.
Outstanding. Great information as always, Kara. Thanks so much. Have a great new year.
Thanks, Kara.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Yeah, Kara Codney, SOS, joining us here this morning. Chuck, Newsmaker 2.
Newsmaker 2. We got a busy day tomorrow in addition to what's going to be taking place normally with the Newsmaker 2 segment. That actually will not be at 8:20 tomorrow.